to Shechem. And he summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your ancestors lived beyond the Euphrates and served other gods. Today, however, I ask you to revere the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in past days or for the Lord. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did these great sights in our sight. He protected us all along the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples who were our enemies, who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." Continuing on to the book of 1 Kings. Different leader, Solomon. Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the leaders of the ancestral houses of all the Israelites before King Solomon in Jerusalem, to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. Then the priests brought the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to its place in the inner sanctuary of the house, in the most holy place, underneath the wings of the cherubim. And when the priests came out of the holy place, a cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that when the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled that house of the Lord. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands to heaven. He said, "O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God in heaven or above or on the earth beneath, keeping covenant and steadfast love for your servants who walk before you with all their heart, no God like you. The covenant that you kept for your servant, my father David, as you declared to him, you promised with your mouth and have this day fulfilled with your hand. Therefore, O Lord, God of Israel, keep for your servant, my father David, that which you promised him, saying, 'There shall never fail you a successor before me to sit on the throne of Israel, if only your children will look to their way, to walk before me as you have walked before me. Let your word be confirmed, which you promised to your servant.'" And Solomon continued, "But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Even heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you, much less this house that I have built. Regard your servant's prayer. Regard this plea, O Lord my God, heeding the cry and the prayer that your servant prays to you today, that your eyes may be open night and day toward this house, this place of which you said, 'My name shall be there,' that you may heed the prayer that your servant prays toward this place. Hear the plea of your servant and of your people Israel whenever they pray toward this place. Oh, hear in heaven your dwelling place. Heed and forgive. Likewise, when a foreigner who is not of your people Israel comes out from a distant land because of your name, for they shall hear of your great name, your mighty hand, and your outstretched arm. When a foreigner comes and prays toward this house, then hear in heaven your dwelling place and do according to all that the foreigner calls to you, so that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, and do as your people Israel, so that they may know that your name has been invoked in this house that I have built. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me, will you? Gracious God, we hold fast to your promise to shape us into reflections of your love and your compassion. So may the words of my mouth and the reflections of all our hearts be pleasing to you as we consider your word to us this day. So, where is God? Where can God be found? Where does God live? I overheard a woman in another church once telling her companion that a certain conversation wasn't appropriate here in God's house. Does God live in the church? And if the answer is yes, then which church is his home? Does God travel back and forth between churches every Sunday, every Saturday, every Friday, the same way some of us travel between summer and winter homes? Or maybe God lives in heaven. That's what we say when we pray, isn't it? Our Father, who art in heaven. Perhaps God lives in this otherly place called heaven and just comes down to visit with us here. Where is God? Where can God be found? I live about 15 minutes from here, and when you drive up to my home, you can see that my name is on the mailbox. It confirms that that's where I live. So if you want to be in touch with me, you know that's a place where I may be found. The funny thing, though, is people often tell me lately that I'm never home. I'm very hard to find there. I'm not confined to that place where my name rests. In fact, some weeks it seems like I'm hardly ever in that place. And yet, it's a place that I can be identified with. My name rests there. It says Gilgor on the mailbox. Now, the name Gilgor represents something. It means something to my neighbors and to my coworkers and to the community where I have lived and worked for 30 plus years. The name Gilgor carries a reputation. For generations, being a Gilgor has meant being someone who gets involved in the community and the church. It means being someone who cares about others. It means being someone who's dependable. It's been a name to be proud of. And there's something of that spirit that rests in the name that I carry on my mailbox. Around the Gilgor family table, the weight of that name has helped to shape three wonderful daughters over the years. My girls were taught about the expectations and values that came with their family name. They heard the stories of those who had accomplished things through hard works or through lessons learned, success stories, try again stories. Remember who you are, they were told. The way that you behave reflects on the whole family. Have you ever heard that one said by your mom or your dad or your aunt? Remember who you are. My name has also been on a mailbox at First Reformed Church in Schenectady. The name label reminds me that other people know my name. My name matters to me. It's important to me how it gets used. I don't want my name used in connection with projects I don't agree with or don't approve of. I would never sign a petition for something that I didn't believe in. I wouldn't let my name rest on such a document. In fact, several years ago, I was serving on a committee whose views became, over time, so drastically different than my own that I had to resign because I didn't want to have my name connected with the views of that committee. So a name matters. Names carry the essence of who we are. Are you particular about the names that other people call you? Does it matter to you sometimes to have strangers call you by your first name? Do you have a pet name you especially love to hear from someone? Or did you have a nickname at one time that maybe you didn't like? Names matter. We want to be in control of the way that our names are used, don't we? So when I allow my name to rest in a particular place, it sums up something of my spirit that connects me, sometimes to a place, sometimes to a focal point. I'm not bound to the place where my name rests, but it makes a difference how and where my name is being used. Our scripture reading this morning began with Joshua. Joshua, who we talked about last week, who had been the faithful and obedient successor to Moses, that keen military leader, the obedient and spiritual guide, the one who led the people from the wilderness into the promised land. Over time, Joshua did many things, became a great hero, but when it became obvious that Joshua was dying, he gathered all the tribes of Israel together to give them a last reminder about serving God. We're told that Joshua gathered the people before God, but they didn't have a church, and they didn't have a key to heaven either. So where did they gather to stand before God? 500 years or so later, another leader, this time a great king, would assemble the elders and the heads of Israel together to speak to the Lord, the God of Israel. King Solomon, son of David, would call together a great celebratory crowd for the dedication of the new temple, a house built for God himself. And what an incredible place it was, too. Only the finest stone cut from the hills and quarries in Lebanon was used to build the foundation. Only the choicest cypress and cedar trees, maybe some bay trees too, used for the walls and the windows had recessed frames, something entirely innovative at the time. The cedar within the house had carvings of gourds and palms and open flowers. There were angels of olive wood, 10 cubits high. Solomon overlaid the inside of the house with pure gold, and he drew chains of gold across the front of the sanctuary. It must have been glorious. Can you even begin to imagine it? It took 7 years to build that temple and tens of thousands of laborers. So was it Solomon's hope that God would move in and live in this new palace forever? That God would always be at hand in the temple that Solomon had built? No, of course not. Solomon knew that God is not able to be boxed in, kept like a servant, contained in a house built by men. Hear again what Solomon said. Will God indeed dwell on the earth? Even the highest heaven cannot contain you, much less this house that I have built. So why then this fantastic temple, this amazing place for God, if God will not truly live there? Why does God need a place at all? Why does there need to be a house of the Lord? Perhaps by building a place for God's name to rest, Solomon was hoping to create a focal point, a place for the Spirit of God to be recognized, a place where God's people knew they could gather to honor God, to tell the mighty deeds of God, to be shaped and nurtured and nourished by the glory of God, a place where people could remember who they were, the beloved people of God. The temple was never meant to be a place where God would be bound. On that great day of dedication, Solomon was filled with such awe, in fact, and such reverence for the holy name of God, he was even able to pray for the foreigners of the world. And that, my friends, was not done in that time. That revealed Solomon's wisdom and understanding of God's will and showed him to be a man ahead of his time. We can take a lesson from Solomon when we remember, in God's house, we do not bind the Almighty to keep him handily at our beck and call. In this place, we gather together to focus on the one whose name gives shape and direction to our lives. In this place, we remember how important it is how the name of God is used, and that it matters to what we connect God's name. In this place, we learn the stories of who we are, whose we are. We are shaped and we are loved and we are prepared for life in the community, this community and even beyond. In this place, we are named anew, and we come to honor and even share the same name, that name Christian, Little Christ. Solomon asked wisely, "Will God indeed dwell on the earth? Even the highest heaven cannot contain you, much less this house that I have built." Yet somehow, as we gather in God's house, in this place, God's Spirit is pleased to dwell. In God's house, we do find His essence, His presence, and His blessing. Indeed, God is here. The wonder is that God goes with us even when we leave this place and go into the world. For God is here, too, and inside each of you. My brothers and my sisters in Christ, I'm proud to share the name of Christian with you. Let us remember every day who we are. Let us check our mailboxes frequently to remind ourselves of the name that we share. And let us dwell together in the house of the Lord and out in the world, bearing the name we share with our brother, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Holy God, who makes us family, let this time spent together around your word shape our thoughts and our actions for the coming week. And may we grow in understanding, love, and compassion as we try to become more and more like our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.